Good morning. It is a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartalk. Alan, as I often do, listening to the BBC on the way in. And there was an interview with Mikhail Gorbachev, the former president of Russia. He, of course, signed with President Ronald Reagan back in 1987 a nuclear treaty. That nuclear treaty is set to run out in 14 months. Now, he's warning of colossal danger without a treaty in place for nuclear weapons, and a Russian official has now said, well, there's too little time to hammer out a new one, and we know that President Trump doesn't like a nuclear treaty.
Well, that's right, David. You play with fire and you get burned, and that's exactly what's happening here. The relationship between Putin and Trump is very, very strange. We're going to find more about this as years go on. But the fact of the matter is, if ever there is a time for a president to be defending a country, it is over the nuclear nonsense. Look, the bomb is all over the place. People have got them. They make the bombs that we dropped on Japan look miniature by comparison. If this world goes, it could be because these things start to fly. The idea that Putin, who is highly successful in terms of his manipulation of world politics, we see in Syria, we see it everywhere else, is emboldened to say, okay, I'm going to play with this kind of fire also, is indicative of what the brilliant Speaker of the House of Representatives, Nancy Pelosi, said, all roads lead to Putin with you. To Trump. So this is very, very dangerous. Obviously, if the president is either in the pocket of Putin or too sympathetic to him, there is a real danger that this whole world could be in real trouble. And nothing could be more important than this, with the possible exception of climate change, which also threatens to do us in.
Will the impeachment do the president in? The process in full effect now, Alan. All four White House officials scheduled to testify today will not. They are fighting it. This now on the heels of three polls that have come out. Fox will start with them. 49% want Trump removed. NBC News, 49% want Trump removed. MSN poll, 52% want Trump removed.
Well, a lot depends on how you take a poll. 49% isn't quite half, not surprising from Fox and the people who do the polling for them. MSNBC, further left, gets over that 50% mark. Do I think that polls are fixed? No, but I think how you ask the questions is very, very important, and who you pay to do them. So with some predictability, some polls are more helpful to the Republicans, some to the Democrats and to the left. And one has to be very careful when you see polls like this, because the only poll, as the politicians always say, is on election day. And if you don't get turnout, it doesn't matter. However, this is quite dangerous for the president. If you see all of these people who are willing to see him removed, it's got to make him nervous, because it isn't him who is so important in all of this. It is, obviously, the senators who are sitting up there in Washington, putting their little spittle on their finger and holding up in the air to see which way the wind is blowing. And those people are concerned about their offices. Right now, they are prisoners of Trump. They have to do what he wants. The Republican majority is there. But there are going to be an awful lot of middles and purples and others who say, you know, I'm not going to vote for this guy if he's supporting Trump. And that is going to be the way that this thing works out. It is a dangerous time for him, and we haven't even seen the open hearings yet. When they get going and people are glued to their televisions, this may even get worse for Trump.
What about what's seeming to be an evolving strategy from the administration, for example, not disputing the facts now of the call with the Ukrainian president, and that it's not against the law? The president has a right to make foreign policy this way.
There is no question that that is what the newest thing is. First, deny, deny, deny. You say it wasn't a quid pro quo. Then it's clear that it's a quid pro quo. There's no question there hasn't been from the very beginning, but now all the people who are testifying to that. So now the second line of defense is there's nothing wrong with it. We can have a quid pro quo if we want. It's not impeachable, and it is not against the law. It is, of course, in my mind, against the law, against the rules, and against the Constitution, obviously. But Trump's done it, and that's going to be his defense.
Well, you mentioned the public hearings and the folks that will be testifying on TV. I wonder if Energy Chief Perry will do the same. That's Rick Perry, the Energy Secretary, was subpoenaed late Friday. And what he might add into the mix here.
That's right, David. It's not only what he might add to the mix about this particular relationship with this particular president of Ukraine, but it may well be that he has other things. And if you sit up there for 10 hours, they're going to ask you about a lot of things. And I have a feeling Rick Perry is, of course, going to say no. Now, maybe he won't. But when you think about it, what are the sanctions that you can put on? You subpoena somebody, they don't show up, you hold them in contempt. What are you going to do with them? You're going to put them in jail in the Capitol? There is no jail in the Capitol. At least that's what we're being told. The Justice Department won't enforce this, so I think the Democrats are at a loss there, except in the court of public opinion.
The anonymous whistleblower whose complaint prompted the impeachment inquiry into President Trump has agreed to answer written questions under oath from House Republicans. This offer came as the president yesterday called for news organizations to identify the name of the whistleblower.
Well, of course, it's always going to be these cheap shots. We have in the United States a whistleblower law guaranteeing protection of these people. He did what he said. Everything he said has now been substantiated. So you attack the character of this guy and you say, well, he's a Democrat, or he knows Democrats, or he's had a Democratic past. So what? If the information is right, and it is, then why are you attacking the guy's character? We already know that everything that the guy said was true. So enough.
Apparently, that was exactly what Beto O'Rourke thought on Friday. He's dropped out of the presidential race.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was never going to be. We now see the top three. We know who they are. Biden, but not by a lot. 5 points or so over Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. However, if you look in individual states, early states, New Hampshire, places like that, he doesn't have a lead. In fact, he comes down way down. That could have a tremendous effect on how the subsequent states vote also, or maybe not.